Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sonic Talk, episode 800. Bit of a milestone issue. It's a little bit sad that, it's very sad that we have to announce this show. It's dedicated to Gina Tywhorton, Mark Tinley's long-standing partner. Sadly, passed away this week. Held on for a long time, so all the best to Mark and the family, and all our thoughts are with you. But it's not the best way to open a show, but I think we haven't had Mark on for a long time, and there are reasons for that, as you can see. So all the best of him. Maybe I'll get a chance to go down and see him after Super Bowl is all over. But in the meantime, here we are, episode 800. It feels like a milestone. I hadn't really thought how much of a milestone it was until I started getting loads of congratulation emails. I was thinking, oh, well, I suppose it is. Every time you turn over 100, I suppose it's a reasonable thing. That's 2 years or so, isn't it? Something like that. Episode 800 of the Music Technology Podcast, which is dedicated to all things to do with synthesizers, drum machines, recording processes, software, playing live streaming, sort of video sound, all sorts of things, really. Anything to do with the process and the technology and the sort of social aspects of making music. So welcome to us, to you all. Nice to see some folks in the chat. I haven't quite got it working yet, but big shout out to Wagyu. Episode 800. I don't know how many he's been moderating for, but a totally diamond geezer. Thank you very much. Nice to see Ben Deepkid in the chat as well. Lots of people saying they could come on the show, but we did have our guests. I must try and figure out how to get more and more. But you lot are so difficult to manage. I can't handle more than three people at a time. It's just too much. So let's get on to our guests. We're going to start over with Richard Nicol in Pittsburgh Modular Land, where he is probably... he's got the Hawaiian shirt on. He's probably got the shorts and sandals ready to come over to Berlin. Can't wait. Can't wait to show up. And you've got stuff to show, I think. I saw some teaser videos of Voltage Research Lab 2, did I, as well?
Yeah, we're going to show the Voltage Research Lab too. This is something we've been working on for, well, since the original one came out almost 5 years ago. So it's a big, big show for us. We're really excited. And, you know, the shirt is really just, it's been really nice here in Pittsburgh for the last week or so. And so it feels like summertime. So I'm trying to dress for the job I want, which is to be laying on the beach somewhere. But I can't wait for Super Booth. We are running around like crazy, making sure we've got everything ready and we all can give coherent demos of an instrument that's incredibly complex. And I can't wait. It's going to be a great time.
Coherent and Super Booth. Sometimes quite hard. It's at least after a couple of hours, just in any kind of show environment, to be honest, the short-term memory goes and all of that stuff. But yes, it's going to be great. Also, should mention a big shout out to Battery Operated Orchestra, whose shortening of their name is Boo, which is kind of like calculator speak for 800, isn't it? Or the opposite of calculator speak. So there's a relevance there. And in fact, Chris is going to be working on the team to bring you Super Booth. So keep an eye out for it. His great input and stuff. Okay, right. Matt, are you ready? I think I've seen you stop moving around. We can. Yay. We've got Matt Hodson. Matt Hodson in the house, aka Maths.
Hello.
With his excellent modular system behind him and the moon projection. I love those lights. They look fantastic. How are you? It's been a long time.
It has, yeah. It's been a busy time as well. So sorry I haven't been on, but it's great to be here. Show 800, Nick. That's ace, man. So congratulations. You know, like all of us who come on the show, I think we've all been listening to this show for a number of years. And it's a real pleasure to be part of this and continue contributing. So well done to you and Andy and the whole team and that as well. And I've been super, super, super busy. As you know, I've been working with Stylophone, which I've just finished the contract on. So I've just finished bringing their theremin and their drone synthesizer to market, which has been brilliant, loads of fun. So I'm currently now back in freelance world, working on various content creation and marketing and things like that. So if any people out there want a hand with that kind of
looking
stuff,
for an awesome marketer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. Message him via YouTube, indeed.
Just send me a message, whatever. Yeah, love to work with a load of you out there.
And of course, you'll be at Superbooth as well. So we've got almost a full gang. Apart from, I'm sad to say, Paulie's going to let the side down. Although they'll be with us in spirit and probably keep an eye on things. Paulie, Alex Byrne, of course, Magical Synth Adventure. Lovely to have you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Kind of melting as well. I've got Irish genes, see, so we're not built for the summer or even the spring. We're built for those long, cold, hard winters. So never mind. Yeah, but no, I'm really good. I'm busy too. I've been moving my studio around and, you know, making sure everything kind of stacks. I'm just building vertically, basically, to make sure I can fit everything in. So I don't have stuff all over the house that the kids can bump into or trip over, which is important. But yeah, I've also been prepping for my gig in June. I've got a gig in Nottingham on, I think it's June the 29th, with some kind of old Amiga 90s video game drum and bass legends like Pete Cannon and Hoffman and a video game composer called David Wise. So I've been making sure I've been getting my set ready, making sure I've been looking into CD duplication, because I want to do a physical release of my new EP, essentially, because I feel that, I don't know, in this kind of world where everything's online and AI is creeping in and stuff like that, I find it kind of nostalgic to go back to a physical release that I can, you know, take out to people, go out to a gig, and then after the gig kind of say, look, here's my CD, would you like to buy it? And make some artwork and do that really nice kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of full of nostalgia for me, but it's also full of kind of worth to me, having a physical item. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if more and more I hear that, you know, Gen Z are really into CDs. I can't remember where I was reading, but that certain CDs have gone up, you know, really in value because they're interested in those. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I thought, yeah, let's do a physical release, and it's been fun designing all the artwork and stuff like that. So that's me.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. Sorry, I've just realised that part of the show is not going to work because my database has decided to not connect with the show. So we'll get the right videos. It's just all the words and all the URLs are going to be wrong. Hey, but that's fun. All right. I'm sure we could work it out. But lovely to have you all. I mean, there's stuff to talk about. I mean, as ever, there's lots of it's always difficult for a news organisation to talk about stuff pre-show, because some of it's under NDA, obviously, and some of it's just with people that you don't really want to kind of blow all their marketing jet hijinks out of the water just by kind of letting it out. But we know, one of the, I guess the first thing we should probably talk about is obviously Superbooth, and I'm going to see if this will work. I mean, the links and everything are going to be totally wrong, but the video should be right. At least that's what I hope. Let's see. This will sort of introduce the topic. Yes, there we go. This is what Superbooth is like. And in fact, there's all the sun, people in tents, playing with modular equipment. This music is way too mainstream for the sort of thing that you would normally hear at the show, though. So I'd love to hear some of this stuff, but it's generally not like this. It's a little bit more out there, which is fine. But yeah, I'm so looking forward to that. I'm so ready. There we go. So yeah, Superbooth next week. I know we'll dominate a little bit because we're all so excited. It's like kind of it's one of those trade events which is more like something fun to do rather than an actual something that you have to do. I mean, it is work, obviously, but it's kind of fun work. So what do we know? I suppose first thing, Moog Muse. I'm going to be going and seeing that, obviously. I know there's going to be synthesizers from some of the big guys. There are going to be polysynths, and I can say that with certainty without giving too much away. More than one, I think, would be fair to say. And so that's going to be exciting. Obviously, Richard has got Voltage Research. Oh, that was a ill-timed cut there, wasn't it? Voltage Research Lab 2, which you were trailing. So that was there. So I think basically we're going to end up with a lot of stuff, and there's going to be a load of people, because I think also what's happened is last year was the first year back because there were many people who didn't show up there. And I think this year it's like, okay, everybody's gone. Okay, we're going to go this time. I know we didn't do it this time because we weren't sure. Now we're going to do it. And also because NAMM was less focused on the independent manufacturers and is expensive, you know, that's probably similarly priced or probably a bit less, to be honest, to get to Berlin as it is to go and do a show at NAMM, you know, whether or not you have to do international travel or not. So I think there's just going to be, I think it's going to be RAM. The corridors are back, the outside's back. So there's just going to be a ton of it everywhere. I don't know. Where are you? Where is your booth, Richard? Is it going to be in the outside or inside?
Yeah, we're outside in the tents near the beach stage. So last year where the food trucks were is where we are. We've been there now for about 3 years. It's a wonderful place to be. The tents are a ton of fun. It seems to be, it's nice because it seems to be somehow quieter out there. I guess because, you know, you have all the trees and everything around you to diffuse everything a little bit. But it's going to be absolutely wonderful. I've been trying to I've been trying to absorb all the instruments that people have been announcing, and there hasn't been too many so far that have been publicly announced, but there are some really interesting things coming out that I watched the video several times for. I think it's called the Kaima Forma Alt, which is sort of this drone synth. Looks like an analog multi-oscillator drone synth. Really, really interesting. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that I like to see at these shows, stuff that shows some imagination and tries to do something that's a little bit different and a little bit sort of maybe left of center that adds something to what we're all excited about. So I'm not, you know, I can't play the piano or keyboard at all. So polysynths don't really do much for me. I play with one finger at a time. And I use sequencers. So for me, the poly stuff isn't, but like drone synths and things that can create really complex soundscapes, I'm always, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking out for.
Yeah, there's always a lot of that to discover, that's for sure. I can't find, I'm looking for Kaima and it's throwing up a lot of quite disreputable links, which I don't think I'll click on just in case. I don't want to my search history to be populated with, let's say, Kaima Experience Labial's X-Nude Beauty Creations. That's not what I was looking for, but hey.
Wow.
Google search has just become almost bordering on useless, I think, these days. But I know, Matt, I mean, obviously, You're going to be there as a punter this time, aren't you? So you don't have to be tied to a booth, so you're going to have a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose not even playing this year either.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's a shame. Yeah. But I mean, I imagine it sort of takes the pressure
taking
off,
a year off. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm looking.
Is the drone synth going to be there? Do you know? Is it kind of made it across the water yet?
No, I don't think Stylophone are going to be there this year, unfortunately. The only place it's really been out is when we was at NAMM. So people got to play on it there. So, but I think they may be at Bristronica later in the year. So you might be able to play with it there. But I was actually wondering when you mentioned Kaima just a second ago, if that was as in Kaima, KY, Symbolic Sound Kaima, because I do love their stuff there.
I don't think so. No, it's pressing. With a C. Let's see if I can.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if any of this is going to work. I found it.
But
there we go.
He's found it.
Sima Forma. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Out on Kickstarter May the 22nd. Watch the full demo. Okay, right.
Oh, it's a Kickstarter.
Yeah, we'll have to check that. We'll have to check out. I wish I can't bring it into the system because my connection's a bit chunky.
I think it's fair to say there is quite a lot of, when you go to Superbooth, you will be getting to play with stuff that isn't out yet, you know, and some stuff's in Kickstarter, some of it's prototype. So, you know, in terms of stuff that I'm really looking forward to, there's, I got to play on, I've actually got the module handy here, this one, Juniper by Mnemonic Devices. And this is really, really cool, where you can basically record in CV and play it back. So it's like a CV looper, you can do loads of extra stuff with it. It's great when you're playing live because you can record in some really complex CV. And I'm often generating complex CVs, what I do in my music. It's usually one note with complex CV opening and closing filters and that kind of thing. With this, you can record all that into there, turn up for your gig, and load them up per song. So you've got all this complex CV modulation without having to have 20 maths or 50 LFOs and attenuverters.
The Bastl has something similar, doesn't it? What was the Bastl, the little Bastl thing that does recording, yeah, and then you can play them back. I'm not sure how it works, but something similar.
I think with this one as well, you can modulate the channels as well. I think there's six in total. There's eight. And you can take one channel and modulate another one with another one. So you can interact and play with that recorded CV and modulation. I think it also produces LFOs.
How long's the record time, asks Red Walks?
It's a good question. I think it's pretty long though. And it's got, you can clock it and that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's good. And then,
interesting.
And then obviously the play fader,
I played
with that and had a go with that.
Have you
had a play with that, Paulie? Cool, so fun.
It's really cool. It's like a sort of 70s Fisher-Price kind of cool toy kind of aesthetic, and I absolutely love it. But it's actually really useful, you know, for like modulating stuff.
I'm gonna do a video on this one. It's a great sequencer and looper, basically. It allows you to kind of merge kind of sequencing with looping and playability all in one, and it's got some great tricks up its sleeve. It's got MIDI on it as well as CV.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Arthur's got one of those. He's going to be looking at it, I think, but he's been busy, so he hasn't had a chance to get around to it because he got a load of freelance work just as he'd agreed to do the thing. That's how it goes sometimes, anyway. But
it is.
Yeah, we will have a look. Yeah. Oh, excellent. There is a lot to go. I don't know, Paul. Is there stuff you're looking for, Paulie? I mean, eagerly watching the feed for?
I will be eagerly watching for the First Love FM synth. What I love about it is it's got kind of like, you know, like a Game Boy kind of aesthetic. And I love a Game Boy. or anything from that kind of era. And they claim it will make FM synthesis fun. And I'm always interested when people make that bold claim. I'm pretty well versed in FM synthesis. I've actually been able to have conversations with Manny Fernandez that go on for quite a long time and not appear stupid. So I'm okay with FM synthesis, but it isn't the most immediate thing always. And what I tend to do is set up kind of little clusters or macros of FM oscillators that I kind of know will sound good, you know, like maybe like a loose kind of cymbal playground or a loose kind of kick playground, and I'll build them in my instruments and then do a bit of tweaking. But this, you know, it looks pretty cool, I've got to say, with the little buttons and the little screen and kind of in original Game Boy colors.
I'm just trying to get it to show up. Where is it? Leave a reply. Oh, it's up here somewhere, isn't it? There we go.
That's
the one. That looks a bit like a modal craft, doesn't it? A craft synth. It's got that same sort of vibe, I think.
Sure.
To a degree.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, suffice to say, it's going to be fun. I did hear that I was talking to Florian from Bad Gear
yesterday. You're still playing the advert, mate.
Am I?
The sound. The audio's playing.
I can't hear anything. Oh, really? Okay. I'm not hearing anything. Anybody hears it? Are you hearing stuff?
Oh, it's gone now.
No. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's weird. That was weird.
Yes, he was saying that the press office is now possibly being moved to what they euphemistically called, what's his name? The superstar DJ played in a sort of funny little wooden house where it was a sake bar. And I think the press office is being moved there, which could be very... I said, perhaps, you know, you have to wear kind of like little sort of gnome outfit and a funny hat to be able to... Because for those who don't know, the whole of the Fez is essentially a play park for... Der Kinder. You know, that's what it came from in the 70s. It was a big sort of activity centre. You'd go camping. Bungalowdorf, which is where these little bungalows are, were effectively dormitories where kids would go and camp, you know, six to a shed and sort of have fun in the outdoors, as well as then be inside. There's a space, there's a sort of funky 70s space exhibition and a sports centre. So, you know, there's all this stuff like funny little houses, little trains, you know, kind of playgrounds and climbing frames and all that kind of stuff. So that's why the context is there.
It's so cool, like the community there as well. It's an event for me where I get to see people that I talk online with all year long, and then we all come into one place and, you know, go have some food, and it's just such a great place to be. So anyone who hasn't been, you know, I don't work for them or anything, but it's great. It's great. Like-minded people in the community, and everyone's just so sound there as well. Oh, Nick, actually, I just spotted something just now, and just given that he's in a chat, I've just noticed Ben Divkid has posted something on his Instagram. There's a new module coming. I wonder if that's probably going to be announced at Superbooth, I imagine. So just
could well
give
be.
That a
could
shout.
Well be. Yeah, I think everybody's doing it. It's going to be fun. Yeah, there are tickets available. I think obviously if you're in the area, I imagine the tricky part if you have to travel is finding hotels. I mean, because hotels, unfortunately, springtime in Berlin are not cheap. So, and they're also very specific. You have to be very specific where you're staying if you don't want to end up in a kind of boats, trains, and aeroplanes kind of scenario of getting to the venue. There's essentially an S-Bahn on the rear of the park, so you can get a train there. So the idea is you get a hotel that's on that on that track, so that you only have to walk to the station, which is where we go, which is Ospenhof. We'll be staying at the Amano East. A lot of people stay at the Moxie, which is just literally outside the station. You just jump on the train, and it's a 20-minute drive, and then it's probably another 20 minutes through the park, which is a lovely way to start the day, walking through the park with the birds singing and hopefully the sun shining and all of that stuff. Not so fun when it's torrential rain. Obviously, that's quite a walk. And the other one is you get a tram to the front of the building and then walk up the middle, which is a bit less of a walk, still considerable trek, but you walk up that way. And that comes along the river. So it's sort of, yeah, there's different areas that you can do. But I thoroughly recommend it. I've been trying to talk lots of Sonic Talk panellists in. I know Jamie Liddell's going to be there, so it'd be nice to see them. Ty can't make it. I want him to come. Yoad can't make it. It'd be nice to see him there. And yes, it's always a good place to hang out because it's just so relaxed. And I suppose that's the main thing.
Yeah.
It looks like in the chat, there are lots of people all looking forward to it as well. And we, of course, our videos, we start shooting on the Wednesday. We've got a couple of appointments. And then we will be just posting. You know, I'm just currently working on the back end for that because it's a slightly different setup because the network is so bad. In Germany, in the park. I mean, in central Berlin, it's fine, but when you're in the middle of a large sort of countrified area, there's just no cell coverage. So we can't do the same thing that we do at NAMM, which is upload directly from our phones. We have to go back to the office, transfer the footage, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's a little bit of a different workflow. We just need to test and make sure. But we've got Midiera is going to be there, Chris, and Simon Forsyth is going to be part of the team. Also, Andy and Ed and I don't know, Matt. Maybe we might be able to talk Matt into doing a couple of things if he's going to be there. So yeah, and then there's Chris Boo, who'll be back up doing the stories and the graphics, and then there's Ben, who will be doing all the editing because he is a machine when it comes to that. His stamina and ability to knock—he did 100 videos last time, and that was just mind blowing. So yeah, we're looking forward to that.
And can we give a shout out as well to all the new module makers who are going to be there this year? Because I know it's a big thing for new module makers it's not cheap going to these events and having a table and it's also quite tiring standing there for 3 days and that kind of thing. So shout out to the new module makers who are making it and coming forward. And it looks like some really cool new names there. And I do, you know, I know there's quite a number of them around the world who are not able to make it because of either the expense or the traveling and that kind of thing. So it seems it seems pretty potent still in terms of the amount of new makers that are coming forward and delivering something new into the Eurorack world. So yeah, it seems to be flourishing, I suppose, and shout out to you all.
Yeah, well, also that all, oh, sorry, Richard, off you go.
I was going to say, I think it's the Eurorack community is certainly flourishing at this point, but even beyond the Eurorack community, all of these little boxes like this, the FM Love synth, which isn't really a Eurorack format, but it's these small handheld things. And because all of these sort of DSP chips are now priced in a way that they're kind of accessible to everybody, and the tools you need to do the CAD to do all this are readily available, small teams of people can really come up with amazing stuff nowadays. So, and we're starting to see that with these Kickstarter projects and this sort of the lower budget projects. And that's the stuff that I think really shines at Superbooth and is worth searching out, because you're right, it may be their first time there. And I know going to these trade shows, even for me, it's still intimidating to go to these shows and set up your stuff, because you are opening yourself to the world to comment directly to you, Phrase, on something you've spent 4 years sweating over night and day.
Yeah. So,
It takes several years to sort of build up the armor to be able to handle that. So it's a lot of respect for these new companies coming out with maybe their one or two modules and showing them for the first time. It takes a lot of guts. And hopefully I get to walk around and see as many as I can. But if I don't see them, good on you for doing it.
Yeah, well said. No, fair shout. Let's see. I haven't got actually a list of topics in my front of my face because they're all wrong. So I'm just going to have to look at it another way. Superbooth we could talk about for ages, I'm sure. So, let's do the 800 synths, because that is actually, we're episode 800. We can reminisce. We could be a bit more freeform. So I've got a video which is an awesome advert for the original Poly 800, assuming this works. It's the inverted keyboard version. She must be very, very small, because they're not big, are they, these things?
They're not.
But anyway, the Poly 800, think of the same thing. This is sort of in homage to the fact that we've made it to 800 episodes, which is in itself, I'm pleased that. And to all of those synth manufacturers who've actually had 799 previous somethings before they got to 800, although I don't think it quite works like that, does it? But the Poly 800 being one example. And it's funny how many people really responded to that. It was Yoad said it was his first synth and he thinks it sounds amazing. I just remember as a sort of young musician who was sort of looking at synths, it felt very plastic and it seemed somehow like it wasn't all that good. And I don't know whether that's the case. It's funny, my recollection, I haven't heard it recently, but some of the sounds, I was checking some of the demo sounds on the interwebs, and it's like, actually, they're not too bad. I know, Paulie, you're very you're very fond of this one, aren't you?
I am. My first ever YouTube video that I did was on the Poly 800 back in 2012. So, I'll pop the link in the chat in a bit. But The thing about the Poly 800 is I got it at a time, the sort of 2010-ish, where they were very not sought after. So I paid £63 for my Poly 800 at the time. And, I had a lot of fun with it. You could in one sense say it's not really a synth, because the M5232 oscillator inside it is actually just a general purpose sound chip like they used in arcade games, for the asteroids kind of bleeps and bleeps.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it's not specialized synth hardware, and it's literally, they make saw waves by kind of stacking square waves at various footages. and then kind of use, I think, divide down technology in order to get polyphony and run it through one filter paraphonically. But that said, it is a good filter. It's a 24 decibel per octave Korg filter. I think it's the NJM one, which was in the DW series and the DSS one. It's a brilliant filter. It's got a little LFO and it's got, I think, three envelopes. So you could, you know, craft some kind of quite nice dual layered sounds with it. And there's this one bell and string pad sound, which just is absolutely amazing. But the rest of the sounds are a little bit raw. But I don't regret my time with a Poly 800. It's just that probably about 2 months after getting it, I got a Korg Monopoly, which was a complete, you know, step up in everything and an absolute classic, amazing sounding synth. So the Poly 800 kind of, you know, fell out of favor with me, and then I let it go eventually, probably for a little bit more than I bought it for, you know, just because the market had picked up for them. But I know that some people really love them. They mod them. They put the Moog Slayer mod in so that you have a proper cutoff knob, and the Filter FM mod. And some people, it's an example of people getting really creative with an instrument. I even remember one guy stuffing a laptop inside a Poly 800, like a laptop screen, running VSTs via MIDI from the Poly 800 and being able to run the VSTs through the Poly 800's filter. It's absolutely wild, the modding kind of community with this synth. So I enjoyed my time with it, but better things came along for me. But I know that some people love it to death. So yeah.
There are a number of other 800 series synthesizers, I suppose. I'm just trying to think what any of them are at the moment. I've got a bit of a blank. Was there a VX800? Was that an Akai or was that a 900? I've forgotten.
That was the 600, I think.
600. Oh, it's close. 600. I don't know. Any
JD.
Of course, the JD800. That's a classic, isn't it? I mean, very much. Interestingly, you go back and you listen to that, and that's on so many big records in the 90s. And yet, we got the boutique JD800, I can't remember what it was, JD8, well, I think that's what it's called. And it was, there are some great sounds in it, but it's also quite sort of steppy and razor-like when it comes to the to the distortion and the filter. Some great sounds in there. Anything 800 for you?
The only 800 I've got is something quite modern, which is the M800 by Meyer, which Ooh. I did a video on, which is this touchscreen wavetable synth, Ableton looping kind of module, which is essentially it's their MD900 shrunk down into modular world. I always get the Poly 800 mixed up with the, it's a DW8000. That's what I always get.
Now that's a synth.
And I know we're some way off 8000 just yet, Nick, but it's, you know, what's one decimal place?
Might not make that. We worked out at some of the previous milestones. You worked out if you listened to every episode of Sonic Talk, it would take you a week of, like, you know, with no sleep or something like that, something longer.
Wow,
because it's an hour ago. 800 hours effectively, isn't it? So more or less, I mean, probably a bit more, but so yeah, that's quite a lot. Any classic
like
800s
video,
for you? What, the advert?
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could pull that off myself. You know, I'm trying to up my game with my YouTube video I might get some Lycra.
Well, just go, you're wearing all black, so you're halfway there. You know, not much further to go. Any classic 800s, Richard?
Mine all stem from the Korg Poly 800. I used to, one of my early forays into modding and playing around with synths was I would do the Korg Slayer or the Moog Slayer mod on those, and I would add the frequency cutoff and resonance knobs to the panels. And this is when I could buy them on eBay or buy them on Craigslist here in America for $150. And then I would be able to sell them for $300 because they had they were much more usable because they had cutoff and resonance on the panel. So I probably sold four or five of those before I got bored with taking them apart, putting them together. But it all started, I had one of those because I bought it because I felt like my Juno 106 was too big and too heavy to carry around with me. So I thought, well, this looks like it may sound the same. So when I bought it, I was hoping I could sort of emulate the sounds I got with my Juno 106 with it. And I think it really did a nice job. The chorus on the Poly 800, I thought was really, really nice. And for the ways in that time period that I was manipulating sounds, like I would come out of there and then run it through two or three different guitar pedals, a distortion pedal and a flanger and a delay. So it was close enough that I could carry this much smaller, much lighter, much cheaper synth with me and get basically the same sound. So I thought that synth was absolutely brilliant. And it had the guitar strap holders on it so I could hold it like a guitar, which was my kind of nerdy.
Very close to a guitar. We know how you feel about those.
I gigged mine all over the place. Actually looked pretty cool, you know, with a guitar strap on. And then just, you know, the little joystick and just, you know, giving it some of that. I've never been scared of embracing my guitar side, though. I know that a lot of people don't dare to to go near guitars. But it's great,
you either do or you don't, but that's fine. We've covered that in the past. We don't need to go there again. I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable about their preferences there. You know, it can be so easily judged.
It's so divisive.
It is, isn't it? So divisive. Korg AAX 800 module says yes. Cresshead, I think. Yeah, that's. I don't know if I know that one. I'm gonna have to look.
It was little chopped up Poly 800 in a module form with, I think, a nice sort of navy blue kind of finish. Same kind of finish as the SDD 3000. You know that delay that everyone loves. That's really. Popular.
The Korg one, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it has kind of it's got a more classy look, the EX, I'd say, because I think it's metal as well. So, yeah, the module looks a bit more fancy. But yeah, great memories with the Poly 800.
Did anyone play with a JD 800?
I didn't. I'd love to.
Big beast thing, loads of sliders on it.
Darth Vader's favorite synth.
was that the red glue? The curse of the
it
red
was,
glue.
It was red glue.
Oh, was it that one? Yeah.
It was and the U20 and the JV1000. I think that all had that weights dropping off and red gunk coming out of the keys.
Yeah, oh crikey! Fun.
Yeah.
And then there was the EX800 was the kind of. It was the kind of desktop version, wasn't it, of the Poly 800, I think. That looked pretty cool. Although it had a really interesting kind of format for going into the menus and things, I seem to remember. And then I was just looking, obviously there's the Behringer Pro 800, which is the Prophet 600.
Oh, yes, of course.
Clone.
Prophet 600, yes, that's clone a good one. And that's supposed to be really good as well, isn't it? That's quite well spoken of, I believe. Haven't checked that one out. And the only one I did was the Poly KB or the... I never remember what it's called. I haven't done the recent crop because I have to buy them all and I'd sort of feel a bit uncomfortable doing that. Well, not uncomfortable, I'm cheap. I don't want to have to pay for my to review it. I mean, I'm happy to take it in and send it back. That's fine. But I don't fancy buying it, generally speaking, unless I absolutely have to.
There's one more 800 that I remembered, which was the Roland PG800, which was one of Roland's controllers for the JX series. I think it was the one for the JX8P and the JX10. And that was an interesting time in synths where... they sold the synth and the knob separately, you know. So if you just wanted to buy the synth and you were a bit of a cheapskate or a starving student, you could buy your JX8P, lovely battleship grey monster of a synth, and then, you know, buy the controller separately. when you've the month later when you'd eaten, you know, pot noodles or beans for a month
or two. Yeah, I wonder what the lag was like on that, because it would have been using SysX and stuff back then, wouldn't it? So it would have been Boss GM800, if it was, guitar synth as
I did a review on the GM800 guitar synth, and Gaz played some wicked bass lines on it. I need to extend that, actually. I'm going to make that into a whole song. But yeah. So yeah, 800 synths, Levin.
There's 800 synths. I'm trying to think any more in the Boss GM800. Yeah, that's coming.
There's a Casio, Casio MT800, the Casio tone.
Oh, good Googling.
I am. To be fair, I am Googling.
Love a Casio tone. Casio.
Look at
MT800.
That.
MT800.
MT800, yeah. It's 49 key.
It's got little speakers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I probably played on one of these. It's the kind of thing that schools used to have in the 80s. And then sat around until the 90s.
Bit of Casio tone.
Yeah, great demo presets, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, there's quite a market for them now as well, which is interesting, you know. It's a kind of arranger kind of sub-pro market of people who are really just into Casios, especially the boombox ones. Like a boombox Casio will cost hundreds.
That's tight.
That is cool.
And it's got some sort of cartridge ROMs as well, by the looks of things.
Yeah.
It's got like
card system.
Oh, look at that. Ooh. That's got a certain something, hasn't it?
It does.
It's the sort of thing you can imagine checking your mixes on as well, couldn't you? You really want to use
it. It's almost kind of got a teenage engineering kind of retro vibe in a way, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
Kind of.
There were a few really good sounds on some of those Casios. I remember there was an MC, it's a 200 or 202 Electrone, and it was sort of quite a large keyboard. For the time, because it was about the time of Steve Winwood, Ark of the Diver, and there was lots of that sort of slightly harp-like tones, and you could get those on it. So you could play sort of some of the stuff that you were hearing in the charts, but not much of it, because that was about the... But it did sound quite nice, I remember, and I can't remember how many voices it had.
It's it's very exciting buying vintage Casios as well, for one reason. A lot of them use these old paper capacitors, and they will explode in the most amazing way when you turn it on. You'll turn it on, wait 5 minutes, and the thing will just set on fire, you know, smoke coming out of the speakers. And it won't be anything terrible. You literally just need to buy a new capacitor, you know, like a decent one, and replace the failing component. But it's very entertaining and very dramatic when they go, I've got to say.
I just want to say, who was this? This was DJ Mechanicom via... YouTube. So this is the Yamaha. Oh, there's a TG, and it's a 500. Maybe there was an 800.
Got one of them. I guess if you got a TG 500 and a 300 and put them together, it'd be 800.
Yeah, makes 800. I mean, we're clutching at straws a little bit, but there are a few.
There was the Cheetah, the MS 800, reminded by Paul and Maddox on YouTube.
Oh,
and, don't you have one of them,
Elkins?
Nick,
not me. Oh.
I have an MS6. Yeah, I haven't. I've got somebody else's Cheetah. They lent it to me because my Cheetah, sent it off to be repaired to a company called the Northern Synthesizer Company, who then went bankrupt, and I never got it back. But it's a similar. It was an analog. Here we go.
The 800, I believe, was a wavetable synth with the award of the worst user interface ever.
Look at
that tiny little screen. You have to go through menus up and down to get to. No. But you can do a nice wavetable. So I'd be fine with it, Nick. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Well, I can beat that. The Cheetah MS6 had was six voices, but also six part multi timbral. It could be. It was a very similar system. I think it maybe was 3-character LCD, but it was all hex. And it had loads of parameters that were inverted. So as you went down, the value went up, you know, that sort of stuff. So it was literally I mean, it had, I think it had, if I remember correctly, it had Curtis chips in it. And it, yeah. I used it on a bunch of stuff, actually. I was sad to see it go. I mean, once you, it was the sort of thing that you could get some great sounds out of it, but it took such a long time because programming it was so horrible. It was really, really rough, actually. Worse than the, probably the worst programming experience, I think. Maybe enough, worse than the advanced sampling system on the Mirage, which was
Mirage trauma just brings everyone down, Nick. We go into a bit anymore. Of a crater.
Yeah, we do the Mirage trauma. That's true.
There's one more worth mentioning. The
okay,
the
go on then.
Yeah, this one is worth mentioning. I think.
Oh, the DV.
It's the Korg. Yeah, Korg MaxiKorg 800 DV.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was one of those ones with the traveler filters on it where you get the high pass and the low pass on those kind of slides like that. If you take the knobs off, you can go past them, which you wasn't meant to be able to do. And I had the Korg Poly Ensemble. I think that was the Korg P8000 Poly. Loved that. And that had the traveler on it as well. But I really like this kind of age of Korg synths when they were doing this kind of stuff. I really like them. I like the user interface of them. I like the way they sounded. Look at that.
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
nice. It is, isn't it?
That's quite pretty. Yeah.
Very simple, yeah. Well, but very powerful.
Some good stuff. Oh God, I'm getting cookies everywhere. I must actually also thank our other sponsor for the show, even though if anybody's still listening after our trip down memory lane, I know they will. It's not. It's less on the news. It's well, we can reminisce because it's a landmark episode. Okay. I'm just to see what else do we have in terms of topics. There are things. I went straight for that one. Never too old for techno, I suppose. As we're episode 800, it might be kind of appropriate. Let's see if I press this one. This was from a news story that found by MIDI Error. Anyway, I'll play it. This is Global Shuffle dance music. Oops, sorry. I play that again. Press the wrong button. So this is on Syntact. We don't know what this gentleman's name is, but I love that he's got a biro and a notepad, and he's pushing. And this, when we found the story, he was on several thousand subscribers. He now has over 230,000 subscribers. So he's had a meteoric sort of. He's ridden the techno wave of virality. We must be gigging. We'll have to get him for an email. We must get him for an email. That's fantastic.
Definitely.
I think perhaps he's older. He looks older than he is. I think he's kind of playing the age card a bit, but it's really.
Living the dream. Down.
Yeah, I think that's great. Well, that's probably because Syntact doesn't have a song mode.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But it's just cute, isn't it? He's got his notepad and he's sort of like his numbers he goes to. I've been sort of watching this guy for a while and it's been cool watching him blow up. His music is great. I'd go see this guy play live. Put him on at EMOM. I'm definitely there. I mean, close your eyes and imagine you're in Bergain and he would go down really, really well. So, it's ace. I'm glad he's been recognised.
I could imagine he could end up with kind of a career in performing. I mean, because I think people might book him as a bit of a novelty, but then actually he comes up with the goods. It's kind of good. But also very encouraging that that someone of advanced years is into that in that way. Because it's normally, you know, it's pipe and slippers and easy life. You know, not myself, I'm now doing ambient, dreamy, long reverbs. I'm not doing banging beats, whereas he's gone in the opposite direction. So it kind of makes me feel a little bit older than him, in fact, in a weird kind of way. My musical age is probably much older than his musical age. Because it's like, what are you in techno years as opposed to dog years? I don't know. it's nice to see that, Richard, isn't it? Have you got any notable, extremely well advanced Pittsburgh users who are banging it out?
Of course we do. I don't know if they're banging it out or not, but we get videos and songs from people of all ages all the time, and it's amazing. What caught me in this video specifically was that, one, he was doing it with one instrument. So you don't need a million things to do something really fun. And also, it's sort of the unfiltered joy you could tell this guy was in, just living and loving the sounds he was hearing, was really, really refreshing to see. And that's the kind of thing that makes me smile, that people are using these instruments and just, they're not doing it for any other reason than it just makes them feel good. For so many of us who are, you know, hobbyist musicians, there's this sense that you have to do something for larger than it needs to be, when the reality is just turn it on, put some headphones on, and just enjoy yourself with this stuff. And I think this guy showcases that so well. It warms my heart a little bit. It's awesome.
Yeah, excellent. And he has got a couple of cameras. He's definitely not going for the amateur setup. So there's two shots going on, and his editing. So it's that. I wonder. We'll find out that it's like the evil Svengali, pop Svengali behind the monkeys or whatever. There'll be like a Simon Cowell figure behind this guy. I don't know. What do you think, Paulie? You're going to be doing this when you're in
some nefarious yeah. kind of producer who's like, stick with me, kid, I'll make you a star. No.
Well, it's the opposite of boy band, isn't it? You know, it's the opposite of the boy band concept.
It's a distinguished older gentleman band. Yeah, I love it when people do anything to kind of subvert expectations in terms of, you know, age for one thing. I know that, and it will probably be more pronounced for people even younger than me. Growing up, there was a very, very big sense of young people do this thing, older people do this thing, and when you get to a certain age, you're not allowed to do this thing anymore. There's the old poem, it's time to put away childish things. I've found it interesting how that has completely fallen away in our modern world, you know, because we have kind of people, you know, sort of my age, 40, who are really into toys and collectibles and things like that, you know, childish things. And then we've got, you know, like old geezers into making modular techno. I think it's just absolutely brilliant. So I think it's to do with the young at heart kind of vibe, isn't it? Staying young at heart, and not letting anyone tell you that you can't do something past a certain age if you enjoy that thing, you know. I'm sure
Can't manage anymore.
Of course, yeah.
There is that, which is, that's when it's very depressing. But yeah, if you don't use it,
sure,
then you're going to lose it. But we're thinking more mentally at this stage. But yeah, brilliant
yeah,
story.
Yeah, definitely.
And it seemed to just go everywhere. And that was another great one found by Midia, Chris, who will be with us in... who will be with us in Berlin next week. I suppose we're getting to the point where we could wrap things up, really, because I enjoy walking home in the sunshine for a change, perhaps. And we're going to be using our new poster frame. We're changing the poster frame for episode 800. Chris has talked me into putting faces on it because we think it might be a bit more engaging, maybe bring in some more people, because I don't know. Nobody's going to be up there having a shocked face. Don't worry. We're not going to do you won't believe what these people all said. The only problem is, I was thinking, is it's basically, if it's the same guests every week and we're basically all elder, bespectacled, bald people, it might be a little bit samey from the kind of point of view of the poster frame. But we're going to give it a go, and I'm so look out for that. So when do you leave the country then, Richard? Are you flying out the weekend, or do you go next week, or how long have you got to pack?
Well, we're heading out Monday afternoon here, so we get there Tuesday morning. And it's sort of a rush to pack between now and then. Fortunately, our flight leaving here isn't until late in the afternoon. So we still have all day Monday to sort of double check and make sure that we've got everything. And 2 years in a row now, leading up to Superbooth, my luggage has been lost the last 2 years. So And that's because we've had really tight connections and all of our instruments and everything have ended up not making the flight overseas. So this year I made sure that we had at least a 3-hour layover in every stop. So it's going to take us a long time to get there, but I feel pretty confident, and I'm going to knock on wood here, that my luggage is going to make it with me. So I'll have my toothbrush and a fresh pair of underwear and the instruments that I want to share with everybody.
Well, that's a relief. That's a relief. But that's a long travel. So, I'm look forward to seeing you next week in person. Obviously, there's no show next week. I should point that out because we'll be in Berlin doing other stuff. And Paulie, I'm guessing you're still working on your EP, getting ready for your gig, and all of those good things.
Yeah. Fun things.
Excellent.
It's gonna be absolutely amazing. I'm just looking at duplication, as I said, so looking at prices and, you know, which places will let you kind of place the artwork properly so it, you know, you're getting 100 CDs made, you don't want to be them slightly wrongly printed, so I'm having all that fun at the moment, but no, it's gone really well in that I've shared the artwork on my Patreon, and the response has been really, really good, so I'm really, really happy. So yeah, I'll reveal it really soon. Yeah,
excellent. Well, we'll look forward to that, and also do keep an eye out for Paulie's excellent articles, which are coming thick and fast. Always good read, so do check that out. In fact, I think I might change the layout a little bit so we can filter by viewer, so it's easier to see all of their writing and, you know, whatnot. Probably not before. Maybe I'll do it just before I get on the plane, eh? Live code editing on the server and then leave the country. I don't think so. I'm not going to do
chaos.
Although I have done that, but not this time. And Matt, of course, we'll see you there, and we look forward to that. And of course, I guess are you got a bit more time for music and all that other stuff at the moment? Or will have, perhaps?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, I've got a few freelance projects coming in with a number of brands. I can't say who just in a minute. Electronic music production, synths, drum machines, modules, that kind of thing, from various things. So I've got lots of things coming in, and videos to be made for them, and content and marketing and that kind of thing. So my focus is kind of on that at the minute. I'm really enjoying doing that kind of work. So as I mentioned, if there's any companies or manufacturers that want to have a chat while I'm at Superbooth, I'm already booking in quite a few meetings, so do give us a shout if you want to do that. And Paulie, you might want to check out the Battery Operated Orchestra podcast, because they are masters at doing artwork and self-release CDs and stuff like that.
Have a chat with them.
They're really, really good. They've got it nailed. They should go into consultation or something, because they know how
definitely.
To do it. So have a chat with them or go watch their stuff. Yeah. Good luck with it as well.
Interesting idea.
Thank you. Cheers.
Right, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Thank you, everybody who's ever listened to any of the episodes and who's ever been a guest. Hey, look at that. There's 800. Wow, look at Fancy Rich. And he's doing fancy stuff now. That's like what? Manual auto graphics, is it? Is that Comic Sans you're using? Is that Comic Sans? I think it might be. How dare you?
It's like Comic Sans Italic.
Yeah, Comic Sans Italic. Anyway, lovely to see you all. We'll be back the week after. DivKid's going to be on that show. I'll try and round up a few other people, and hopefully I'll have a bit of time to fix the things that didn't work this week. But all good. That was Sonic Talk episode 800, for goodness sake. See you all next time. Take care now. Bye-bye.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.